Let's turn then to Hebrews chapter 13. We want to focus our thoughts today around a very familiar verse, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. I don't need to tell you, do I, how much this world is changing. We look at the worldwide picture and we see such revolution in even the way borders are drawn, countries are named, which political parties are ruling. We see changes in the world economy. We see changes in the environment. Coming closer to home, we see tremendous changes even in this country. Many of them for the worse, especially religiously and morally and spiritually. We see the changes in the political makeup of Congress. We see changes in the way business is done. We see changes in our education system, our healthcare system. And then coming closer to home, we see, don't we, changes all the time in our own personal situations. Our health is changing, our finances are changing, our relationships with others are changing. And when we're young, change seems kind of enjoyable, exciting, and something to be desired. It's more interesting and less boring than just everything staying the same. But as we get older, change becomes more threatening to us. And when we are aware of this all-round change in every sphere, then the reaction of our hearts is usually anxiety, uncertainty, fear, worry. And that actually was a very similar background to this epistle, as we'll see. And therefore, the word here from the apostle to them and to us is so, so needed. In this world of change, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, there may be somebody here saying that he's not always the same because he changed. There was a time when he did not have a human body or a human soul, and he became man. That was a change. And then there was a change throughout his life as he aged and matured and grew, and eventually tremendous sufferings and pains and ultimately death. What greater change can there be? And then from there, the change to resurrected life, and then the change to ascended life. These are all changes in Jesus Christ. He changed in his body. He changed in his condition from glory to humiliation and back to glory. This verse, therefore, is not saying that Jesus never changed at all. It's saying he never changed in the most important area of all, which is his character. His character, whatever changes in his body, whatever changes in his condition, his character remained the one constant. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus in his character is the same. And that's the truth that the Hebrews needed. That's the truth that we needed and we need today. In the context here, the apostle is urging the Hebrew Christians to, first of all, remember those who were ruling over them. You see that in verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto the word of God, whose faith follow. So he's pointing to mature leaders in their church, and he's saying, keep your minds on them, think about them, but don't stop there. Because he's really saying, what is it that made them leaders? What is it that made them reliable and steady and sure and trustworthy? He says, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. He's saying, consider and think about and remember your leaders, especially what has motivated them, what has fueled them, what has matured them, what has stabilized them, what their life goal is, and where they are heading. Jesus Christ is the end and the beginning, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's do that, shall we? Let's consider Jesus Christ, the one constant in an ever-changing world. And we do that for four reasons. First of all, because it scares the stubborn. It scares the stubborn. Think of two characteristics of Jesus Christ that remain the same. Think first of all of his holiness. His holiness. His purity, his moral standards. Now, if anything is changing in our world, it's that, isn't it? What is right or wrong? What is moral or immoral? And it would appear that the majority of our nation, and certainly the majority of the world, is moving away, is changing in its moral standards, in what it believes is right or wrong. And in the midst of that tumult, when there is such change going on and such moral revolution, the tendency may be to think that Jesus is also changing in his morality, in his standards, in his view of what is right or wrong. That, well, if everyone else is changing, and especially the powerful are changing, then, well, the impression must be that Jesus is changing too. He's got more tolerant. He's got more accepting. He's got more realistic, you might say. He doesn't love righteousness as much as he used to, and he doesn't hate wickedness as much as he used to. And therefore, stubborn sinners, those who are set on a course of sin and immorality, are no longer alarmed. They're not alarmed at social consequences because everyone's changing in our society, and they therefore assume that the Lord has also changed. There are no spiritual consequences as well. And if that's what you're thinking, if that's maybe behind your thinking, then this verse should scare you massively. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed his holiness. He has not changed his holy standards. He's not changed what is right or wrong. And if your hope of heaven is based upon the hope that Jesus has changed, your hope is hopeless, according to this verse. And you should be afraid. Very, very afraid. But think of a second characteristic of Jesus that has not changed, that should also scare stubborn sinners, and that is his justice. If his holiness is about the standards he sets, his justice is about what he will do to those who do break his standards, how he will judge. Again, when we look over the last 20, 30 years, we've seen tremendous change in the justice system. Not just in what's now declared to be right or wrong, but in the penalties that are imposed on what is wrong and criminal. And many groups have campaigned extremely successfully, largely for a reduction in penalty, if not removal altogether. And so the whole idea of retributive justice, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, is fading fast, if not already wholly gone. Well, the impression might therefore be gained if the highest authorities and the greatest judges and the supreme courts of the land can change penalties and decide not to be just and not to punish evil, then again the implication sometimes is drawn that Jesus too might do the same. And when we're witnessing so much of that change, it's hard not to be influenced by our culture in this way that it somehow muddies the waters or makes our thinking foggy and unclear. And so this hope is entertained that, well, it used to be wrong, but it's no longer wrong. And if it is wrong, he's not going to punish it as he used to. Again, the one constant in all of this is Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever, not just in his holy standards, but in his just justice, in the execution of justice. When we read the Word of God, what do we find? We find the Lord Jesus hates wickedness and punishes it. There's no leniency. There's no amnesty. There's no presidential type pardons to the unrepentant. He demonstrates throughout his word a determination, a resolute determination to punish sin and sinners. There's not a hint in the Word of God that he has reduced his determination in this. When we look at his punishment of sin in Noah's flood or at Sodom and Gomorrah, he is the same. Yesterday, Noah, yesterday, Sodom, yesterday at the cross, as he is today and as he will be tomorrow. Again, this should scare. This should cause the stubborn, those set on ways of sin, to tremble. Do not let the changeability of this world change your view of the Lord Jesus in his holiness or in his justice. Don't let the culture deceive you into making these false deductions from the changes in men and women to the idea that Jesus Christ himself would ever change in his character. If you are an unsaved sinner here today, unrepentant, then this verse should scare you. It should alarm you. And if it doesn't, then you have been changed by your culture. And you need to be changed by the Word of God to come back to see that this same Christ of the Bible is the same today and will be forever. And you have no hope if your hope is for change in Christ. This should scare stubborn sinners. But secondly, it should support seeking sinners. It should support seeking sinners. Again, let's think of two characteristics of Jesus. Think first of all of his truth. He is unchanging in his truth and in his truthfulness. Not what we find around today, is it? There are many truths, we're told, and they all contradict one another, but they're all true. Or there's no truth at all. And we're just in this sea of uncertainty. There's certainly no way, we're told, that anyone can say that this is the truth and this is not. Truth changes, we're told, with the years, as we become more civilized and educated, advanced. Well, truth has got to also evolve and develop and mature. Well, not the truth according to Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever in his truth. What he said was true here when he walked on this earth, as we have a record of it here in this word, is as true today as it was then. And it will be as true however long this world stands. Whatever the future holds, the truth will hold. Firm, steady, unchanging. If you think of this Hebrew church, it was a church that had been turned upside down. Most of them were believers who had been Jews. And their whole religious world had been, well, just turned upside down and inside out and back to front. All that they had been familiar with had been removed by the coming, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus and the apostles taught that with his coming, the temple was gone. The priesthood gone. Sacrifices gone. The festivals gone. All that their eyes and their ears and their noses and their touch had been familiar with was gone. And you can imagine the sense of, have I got anything firm to stand on? Am I just floating in midair? When everything familiar is gone, what's left? And really the message of the epistle to the Hebrews is the answer to your sense of uncertainty and anxiety about this is not to go back to these outward forms. The answer is not to revive priesthood and temple worship and the Jewish festivals. And the answer is to get to this core. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And he's saying, look, Jesus Christ was the same throughout the whole Old Testament. The form of that worship and the way he was presented for sure was different. And now that he's come, we can't go back to these pictures and shadows and lesser ways. No, that's gone. We leave the outside. We now have the kernel, and we hold on to this unchanging kernel. The same Christ that saved in the old, saves in the new, will save forever. The truth, though again in different clothes in the Old Testament, now in new clothes, in the New Testament, that truth is the same. So don't get hung up, he's saying, on these external changes. Don't let that be what conditions your state of mind or heart, but let this support you. And it's the same with us today. When everything is changing all around us, there is this tendency to think, well, everything's changed and truth itself maybe has changed. Is there anything we can hold on to? Is there any kernel, any core? And so this word comes with such appropriateness and suitability. Jesus Christ, the same. The answer is not to hold on to all the things that are continually changing in this world. That will just never happen. There is going to be change and revolution and transformation. But the thing to hold on to is the core, the truth that Jesus gave. His promises, in other words, are still truth. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And I will be inside of him like a fountain of living water. All these truths are still true. By grace you're saved through faith, not of works. It's the gift of God. That's still true. Jesus Christ, as Paul is saying continually throughout this epistle, his sacrifice once for all, forever, that's still true. It's still sufficient. It's still suitable. It's still available. And so he's saying to seeking sinners, let this support you. This one constant, this truth that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Another truth that should support seeking sinners is Christ's power. Christ's power. We begin weak in this life. We grow in strength for a few years and then we weaken again. And even at our strongest, we cannot save ourselves or one other soul. People we look to as pillars of strength in the church or the community, they fail, they break, they die. Their power, even at their greatest, is not enough for our greatest needs. But Christ is. He is able to save to the uttermost any and all who come to him by faith. You think of the yesterday power of Jesus Christ. Think of that yesterday power at the Red Sea and the deliverance of Israel from Exodus. Think of his yesterday power in the saving of Rahab. His yesterday power in the saving of Manasseh. His yesterday power in the saving of the Apostle Paul. His yesterday power at the grave of Lazarus. Come forth! And he came forth. That yesterday power is today power. Just the same. Not weakened. One iota, 1 pound, 1 ounce. And it's the same forever. And so seeking sinners, you're conscious of your weakness, your frailty, your inability. You realize there's nobody else that can help you. Here's the one constant. Jesus Christ, the same in power. Yesterday, today, and forever. Without power, his mercy is just feeble pity. Without power, his promises are just an empty sound. Without power, his warnings are a mere scarecrow. But with power, his power, his words are life, eternal life. And so, those of you seeking the Lord, let this wonderful verse support you, get underneath you, carry you, transport you all the way into Christ's arms and heart. Plead this. Say, Lord Jesus, your word says you're the same yesterday. Therefore, today and forever, this is enough for me. These promises are the same. This power is the same. Speak powerfully this truth into my weak soul and draw me. The one constant, Jesus Christ's unchangeability, supports seeking sinners. But thirdly, it also stabilizes saved sinners. Yes, the stubborn should be scared, and the seekers, they should feel supported, but those who are saved, who are the saints of God, should find this truth to be a stabilizing force in their life. Again, think of two aspects of Christ's character. Think of His love. His love, the same yesterday, today, and forever. How unlike human love. That's got a beginning, and it's got an end. It ebbs, it flows, it fluctuates. It's sometimes frustrated and frustrating, but not His love. No beginning, no end. No ebb, no flow. No frustration or fluctuation. The same to you, believer. Again, it's so hard for us to get out of our world that's so full of changing love. And think of a world and of a person whose love is unchanging, unfluctuating, unebbing, unflowing. That's what we have here. We sometimes might think, well, you know, he will love me when I'm perfect. So we think of the time maybe when the Lord Jesus will take us at our death or at the end of the world, and He will present us to His Father without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And we're told He will do that presentation with great joy and great glory. And so we look ahead and we envisage that and we think, oh, He'll love me there. When the wrinkles and the spots and the blemishes are gone and He can look at me in perfection. But He loves you no less today. In all your imperfection. In all your flaws and faults, believer. And again, this is so hard for us to understand because our experience of human love is we look at ourselves and our flaws and we think, oh, you know, how can anyone love me? And, you know, apart from those closest to us, it is really tough. But He sees. And He loves. He sees more faults than our closest loved ones, our friends, or the enemies that He hates most. He sees more. And yet His love stays the same. When you think of all the changes in your life, believer, the changes in your bank account, the changes in your relationships with others, the changes in your business, the changes in the political climate, and all the anxieties and worries and fears that are generated by that. How do we get back to stability? It's through the love of Christ, the unchanging, the constant love of Christ. And when you're tempted and you hear that little voice after you sin, or even in the midst of sin, He doesn't love you anymore. Or He loves you only half as much as He used to. Or how can He possibly love you when you've done that or not done this? You take this verse and ram it down the devil's throat. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. I think also of His righteousness to stabilize you. Righteousness in the Bible is often presented as a piece of clothing, as a fabric, a cloak. We often speak of that, don't we? Christ's righteousness being like a robe that we put on to cover our nakedness and our filth. And it is that. But again, in every illustration, there's a flaw, there's a weakness. And the weakness is we think of clothes and we think of change. Either change in the sense of fashions and fads, how clothes change in shape and color and texture and fabric, evolving, developing. Or we think of cloth decaying and deteriorating and being destroyed with time and wear and tear. And therefore, again, although this is a biblical and a beautiful illustration, there's still that little flaw sewn into it necessarily because of the limitations of human language and concepts that might make us think, well, this righteousness of Christ is something that maybe can get better or improve, or I can get more of it if I do more of this or less of that. Or maybe we think that his righteousness can diminish and decay and deteriorate and wear and get torn. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. His righteousness, his perfection that clothes you, believer, it cannot get better because it's perfect. And being perfect, it cannot get worse. It's the same. It cannot evolve or develop or grow or improve. And it cannot decay and deteriorate or be destroyed. Jesus Christ, the one constant. Just very briefly, think finally of this. This verse should not only scare the stubborn, support the seeker, and stabilize the saint, but should also strengthen the sufferer. Strengthen the sufferer. Again, think of two characteristics of Jesus. Think of his wisdom and his sovereignty. These are the two areas that are often attacked when we suffer. When pain and difficulty comes into our lives, we think, he's no longer wise. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's lost control. He's made a mistake. Or we think, well, he's still wise, but he's not sovereign. He's lost control. He's no longer managing the situation. He's no longer in charge. Chaos is on the throne. Luck is on the throne. Chance is on the throne. Probability is on the throne. But God is not on the throne. And basically what we're saying when we say that is that Jesus Christ is not the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes in his wisdom and he changes in his sovereignty. Some days he gets it right. Some days he gets it wrong. Some days he's sovereign. Sometimes he's a subject. And this verse should come to us and smash these lies to pieces. These lies that are weakening us and wearing us out. Instead, be strengthened, sufferers, by these two unchangeables, these two constants, the constant and unchangeable wisdom of Christ and sovereignty of Christ. His unchangeability calls us to change. His unchangeability calls us to change. That sinners would be repentant of their stubborn continuance in sin. That seekers would be changed in their seeking, that they do it more confidently, prayerfully, hopefully. That the saved would be changed in their whole view of God's love and of his righteousness, warming their hearts, undergirding and side girding and inner girding them with strength, that sufferers would be changed to be less rebellious and more worshipful of a wise and a sovereign Lord. Let his unchangeability change us. Let his sameness mean 2015 is not going to be the same as 2014. It's going to be different because there's no difference in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray.